morning. Today's daf is Yates in Erechim. We should start the new parak today, but we're behind. We're back on Yates Amud Aleph, and we are just about, we're right about up to the mission. We have one more little sugya to do. The learning we do this morning, which should be for Aliyas Neshama, for Chana Miriam Bas Yosef Tzvi, and she should have a continued Aliyas Neshama. The mission which we did yesterday, I told you yesterday we started the fourth parak. Today we're going to finish the fourth parak. Fourth parak is a very short parak, and in Erechin it deals with some very basic pieces of information. Four pieces of information. Number one, Hesigad Benoder, that when evaluating whether or not this person may or can or cannot afford the Erech pledge that he made, you don't look at the person that he pledged, you look at him. So in other words, you look at his financials, and if his financials say that he can't afford it, so then he gets a break. The second halacha in this perek is Hashanah Benida, meaning that if he pledges to give the erech of somebody, so you look at not his age, but you look at whoever he pledges the erech of, and he looks at that person's age. The third halacha is Erechim Benerach, meaning in terms of female versus male, right? That's the other critical factor. So you look at the person that he's pledging, he or she. And the fourth halacha of this perek is that you follow the time that he made the erech neder, and not at the time when he actually pays. He may be paying a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later. It doesn't matter. You go back to the time where he actually made the pledge. Even if the person that he pledges is now older in an older bracket, you go back to the time that he pledges. Those are the four halachas of the fourth perek of Erechin. Okay, good way to remember it. Fourth perek, four halachas. No, he doesn't pay anything. It has to be, it's not right. Remember we learned at the beginning of Masechta. It has to be Zachar Vadai or Nekeva Vadai. It has to be nothing. Okay? Also nothing. Nothing. Okay? All right. So it's okay. In terms of financials, though, remember yesterday we had a machlokis in the Mishnah. Basically, what are critical times to look at his financials? So the accepted halacha is that the critical time to look at his financials is when he made the erech and when he pays the erech. Meaning, imachu, he has to be poor. He has to be poor at those two specific points. If he is, so then he gets a break. What if he had a short amount of time in between where his portfolio went up and he ran into money and then quit just as quickly he ran out of money, but there was a point in time that he was wealthy. So according to the Mishnah, according to the accepted position, that's not going to matter. Critical points are the times that he made the erech and the time that he's actually paying. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, we learned yesterday, that if he had any time where he was wealthy from the point of the erech until the point that he had an assessment, so if he has any point whatsoever, so Rabbi Yehuda says, I judge him as a wealthy individual, and therefore he's obligated, even though right now he can't currently afford it, but nevertheless he doesn't get a special break. He gets no special consideration. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and then we're finishing up our Mishnah, and how did Rabbi Yehuda arrive at that conclusion? And the answer is v'imachu. That according to Rav Yehuda, that's a state of being. That's not looking at two specific points. That means that he had to have been poor from the time that he made the erech all the way until the point where he actually is paying or being assessed for what he is worth. The last thing we learned in our Mishnah is, what if he's poor, but he's about to walk into a lot of money? Dahainu, his father's on his way out. So he is going to be wealthy, but right now he's currently not wealthy. So the Mishnah says, okay, don't look at the future, look at the current, right? Your current financials, right? Your current financials are right now that you're poor, and that's it. So the Gemara comments on this. We're now on Yudches Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots of Av Karbanos and Kain. Aviv Meiz V'Inich Lo Ribu Asheru. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara first reads the Mishnah, and the Gemara's first way of reading the Mishnah is Dad actually died already. To which the Gemara says, well, if dad actually died, so now he's wealthy. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Abo, Ema Miniach Lo Ribo. So the Gemara says, no, not Vihi Niach Lo, but Meniach Lo Ribo, it will happen, meaning dad's not yet dead. Okay. Pshita, so if dad's not dead, so the Gemara says, so what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Right? Isn't it obvious that right now it's not your money? You're right, you may be looking forward, well, you know, Yeah. Right. Exactly. In other words, but right, but it's not your money. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? We understand that we look at your financials. We don't look at somebody else's financials, even though that somebody else's money may end up being your money, but that's not your money. So the Gemara's response is, Kishayaviv Gosei. So the Gemara says the chiddush of the Mishnah is that dad is more than just dying. He is really dying. Right? What we call in halacha Gosei. Gosei is like, that's the last stage before death. Right, they say the throes of death. Right, he's mamish on his way out. Mamad detema rov gosesim lamisa. Now the Gemara over here employs the rule of rov. Rov means this is now if dad's in the state of goses, so now it's not just that we look to our future. The future is pretty clear. Okay, and most gosesim are lamisa, and so therefore maybe now we can consider the money to be the child's money and not the father's money. Kamashmalan the chiddush is we don't. We don't look at it as the child's money, meaning money is simply not going to be transferred until the father is actually dead. Okay. Svinasa bayam uvalo beribos ashirhu. Now, the next thing mentioned in the Mishnah also is a little bit confounding. Right? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that dad is about to leave the son money, but he didn't. So the child is still considered an ani. And then the Mishnah's last example, the Mishnah's on the previous Amud, on Yuzayin Amud Beis, Osvi Nasa Bayam, Uva'alo Berib Os, Ein Lehektesh Baklum. Or let's say your ship is at ocean. So the Gemara says, wait a second.
Did it sink?
Right, no. Right. The ship is at the ocean. Ah, wait a second. You're looking at his financials, and he says, that little ship? Oh, don't worry about that little ship. It's in the ocean. The Gemara says, what? The Gemara's about to ask. I don't understand. His ship may be out there, but that still counts towards his financials. he can't just simply tell the assessor, oh, don't worry about that. That little boat. Well, the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Rav Chista Kishayisa Mukhreches Umuskeres Biad Acherim. So the Gemara says, well, right now it's not his. He's renting it out to somebody else. So the Gemara says, renting it out to somebody else. Vayikaschira, so that means that he's going to get a rental fee. So the Gemara's answer is, Schirus ain't a mishtalemis ela b'sof. Yes, he's going to get a rental fee, but this is a basic machlokas that comes up time and again throughout Shas. How do we view rental fee? Do we look at it as a constant accruing of, there goes another day, here comes another dollar. There goes another day, here comes another dollar. And meaning, do we just basically tally it up each day, and with each passing day, that means now you're a dollar wealthier? Obviously, the money doesn't go into your pocket right there and then, but that money is considered yours. Or the other way to view it is, Eina Mishtalemes Ella Basof, meaning that only at the end is the chov actually begin. So at which point in time now, right now, he's literally cash poor. Meaning, and even the schirus, which will be due to him, is not going to be due to him until the end of the rental. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's why we can't count the rental fee towards his financials.
So what happened to the money that's on the boat? The ship is bringing 10,000...
Yeah, but in other words, he's just renting it out to others.
Okay, so good.
The Gemara's next question. The Tepek Lemishim Sfina. What about the value of the boat? Hamani Rav Lazar Didan Rav Lazar Omer Im Haya Iker Nosin Lent Smado V'chamar Nosin Lent Chamaro. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. The boat itself has value as well. But that doesn't count towards his financials. Why not? Because the Gemara says that our Mishnah is in alignment with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, which we'll see in a couple days from now. And that is the following. Look, the person's about to pay his erech obligation. And obviously, the person right now is in dire straits if he's counting his last dollar and his, you know, all of his money, you know, and breaks his piggy bank and opens it up and... In other words, he's really struggling. You can't take away his livelihood. Meaning, towards his financials, if you also say, oh, what about that rake over there? What do you mean? If you take away that rake, I'm not going to be able to earn a living. So anything needed to earn him a living is not and cannot be counted towards his financials. It can only be anything, any of his other material wealth in life other than that which he needs to make a living. You take away the boat, he no longer has a living. So the boat itself, the value of the boat itself, that can't count towards financials because that he needs towards a living. What about the rental fee? So Eina Mishlamas Ela Basof, it won't be until the end of the rental, which hasn't occurred yet. So right now, that's why the Mishnah says he's currently worthless, right?
I understand the
Bolot
and the fee.
Right.
But what happened to the content of the Bolot that's his?
The Gemara assumes it's not his, meaning... Right. He's going to get a percentage of that. But right now it's not his. And he will get a percentage of that, but Eina Mishtalemes Ela Basof. No, he's just renting it out to transport the content. And but you're right though. In other words, he will get a percentage of that as well. Because even though he's going to get some of that, meaning as a percentage, but right now it's not his. Okay. The Hashanah Benidar Ketzad, so the Gemara now goes on. When we talk about years, so you look at the person that he is evaluating. So Ketzad Yelish Erich Zakin. No, it's not Erich Zakin. These points are so obvious that if you have a child over here just simply means, right, young man, who, right, between the ages of 5 to 20, well, let's put him over 5 so that, you know, that he actually can make an Erich Neder. And he says, I'd like to give the erech of that elderly individual. Elderly, in this case, could just simply mean over 20. So, or v'zakin she'erech is a yelet, or you can go the other way. A zakin who gives the erech of a child, no, say an erech yelet. Okay, very obvious points, meaning we follow the years of the person who's being ne'erech. Ha'erchen b'ne'erech ketzad. And finally, the fourth halacha of this perek. And that is in terms of gender. No, sorry. The third halacha of this parak, in terms of gender. So you follow the person who's being assessed. Not the person who's making the neder, but the erech of the person who he's saying, I'd like to give the value of that person. Okay, said isha erech ha'isha, no sin erech isha. The isha she'erich ha'ish, no sinis erech ish. And now finally, I'll say it correctly, we're going to go now to the fourth halacha of this parak. V'ha erech bezman ha'erech. Ketzad. Erichu pachus mi ben chamesh v'nasi yasra ben chamesh, pachus mi ben esrim v'nasi yasra ben esrim, no sein bizman ha'erech. As far as the when you assess, you go back to the time that he made the erech neder. So if he made the erech neder, and at the time when he made it, the child was 5 years of age, or 4 years of age, and then he only pays it when the child is 8 or 9 years of age, well, you don't say to him, look, I'm sorry, but you're bumping up now because the child is older, but rather you go down to when he made the actual erech. Tanu Rabbanan, we quickly run through the Gemara over here. Ataik shita damim la'erchin. There's a hekesh. Rashi points out, we made this hekesh in the very beginning of the Masechta. The Torah, when describing erchin, says, all right, neder erkecha. Rashi quotes the pasuk, be'erkecha, sorry, neder be'erkecha nefashos. There's a hekesh. There's a connection between neder and erchin. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, margalus lekalim velidom bechvodo. A couple of halachas. A halacha of margalus lekalim. We haven't seen this halacha yet. And truth be told is that we'll really spend more time on this halacha later on. Whenever we appraise something based on its current value. Objects tend to have more value depending on location and time, right? Rashi gives a simple example. You have a jewel, and right now you live in a small town. So what kind of price can you fetch for a jewel in a small town? 30 shekalim, right? I'm going over Rashi's example. And then what happens is you can go to Manhattan, you go to 47th Street, and there's just more action. So you're going to get a better price. Whenever assessing values of anything, so you assess it based on its current value. And you do not forecast or look what happens if I were to take it here and try to sell it here. So that's the halacha of margalus lekalim. And lidom bechvodo. And in the world of erech, if I say I'd like to give the erech of his head. So the head is something which is a significant part of the person's body. Without the head, which sometimes I'm without, but without the head, so then you are essentially, you can't live. So therefore, it is what we call, right, the chvodo, the honor of the person. So, in the world of Erechin, you're now on the hook for the entire Erech of that individual. Okay. So these are halachas where it will be the same by Erechin as it will be by Nedarim. These two halachas. Now, in the world of Damim, you always look at the Shas Nesina. Meaning, I want to give the value of somebody. So, do we look at the time when I made the neder? Of course not. We look at the time when we're actually evaluating that individual. So now, once I know that there's a hekesh between neder and erchin, and once I know by nedarim, I follow the time that I get assessed, maybe by erchin, same thing. The Gemara says, Tamalamar, ke'erkecha yakum einonosin ela bizman ha'erech. It's the time that you enunciate and articulate the erech, which is a significant point of time. That's the moment that we freeze frame, and we look at the age of the person that you are being ma'arich, and that's how you pay your erech pledge. Okay. And the last sugya, correct. The last sugya we're going to do now is those thresholds. Meaning, look, let's quickly go over. From 1 month to five, we're doing male. Okay? Just keep it simple. The last question and answer we'll focus on the female. But right now, here's your schedule. From 1 month until 5 years of age, if you are marich a male, that's 5 shkalim. From 5 to 20, that's 20 shkalim. From 20 to 60, that's 50 shkalim. And from 60 and above, 15 shkalim. Okay? The question over here, the Mishnah is about to ask is such a simple one, which is, what happens at 5? What happens at 20? What happens at 60? And you can already imagine it's confusing. Because the Torah says, from month to 5, so then he's going to be 5 shkalim. From 5 to 20, 20 shkalim.
It's including those numbers.
But it can't. The 5 is included in the lower category and the upper category. The 20 is included in the 5 to 20 from 20 to 60. So where's the 5-year-old going to be? Where's the 20-year-old going to be? Where's the 60-year-old going to be? Okay, simple questions. Well, we'll get to... In other words, we're really asking not about the birthday, we're asking about really the entire year. Meaning that fifth year, where are you? Are you in the younger category or are you in the older category? So the Mishnah takes up this very issue. Yom Shloshim Kilamata Hemenu. So we'll start off with day 30, because the first significant day of a person's life in Erechin language is day 30. So now you're on your 30th day of life. Well, I mean, you don't know that, but others need to know this information. Kilamata Hemenu, it's day 30 is day 29. Day 30 is day 27. So in other words, day 30 right now, you're not yet.
30th day is day...
Kilamata Himenu is like below that. Meaning, you're not. You're not yet in the category. Shnat Chamesh or Shnat Esrim, Kilamata Mehem. The fifth year is like the fourth year. The 20th year is like the 19th year. So in other words, you're not yet in the next stage. Shenamar. Now, how do I know this? We're still in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says because look at the upper range, right? V'im miben shishim shana v'mala, because the upper range goes up to shishim v'mala. Hare and ulamedim mekula mishnat shishim, mashnat shishim kelamata heimenu, afshnat chamesh v'shnat esrim kelamata heimenu. Look, because 60, the Torah says when you're 60. And above 60, meaning, sorry, when you are above 60. So, im ben shishim v'mala, right? So, the range the Torah says by 60 is you have to be above 60. 60 is not yet in the next range. So then what we're going to do now is just take that conceptually and just keep moving down, sliding down. 20 is not the next stage. 5 is not the next stage. By 20 and 5, you're still in the previous stage. Just like by 60, you're still in the previous stage.
But when it says
Vamala,
it combines it.
Right. I understand you can make that argument. The Mishnah is about to make another argument, which is the following. The Mishnah says, wait a second. Hein im asa shnat shishim kalamata mimena lachmir nasa shana v'chamesha nam esrim kalamata mimenu lahakel. The Mishnah makes the following argument, which is, I don't understand. Wait a second. When we move from being 60 to 61 years of age, so that's a kula, right? So in other words, by keeping the 60-year-old in the previous bracket, you're basically saying, oh, no, you're not going down to 15. You're still at 50. But for the other two occasions that you moved, meaning when you moved from 5 to the next bracket up, from 20 to the next bracket up, so that doesn't represent a chumra, it represents a kula, meaning right now you're paying less as opposed to more. So, right, because at from 5 to 20, you're paying only 20 shkalim. From chodesh to 5, you're paying only 5 shkalim. And so now by the 5-year-old, you're saying to him, wait a second, what are you? Are you of the previous bracket or are you of the upcoming bracket? Right. By staying in the, by being called a 5-year-old, meaning earlier bracket, you're paying less. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the 60-year-old, which now by calling him the previous bracket, he's paying more. So the Mishnah's basic point is, you can't do that. In other words, you can't make a rule which will have different results, one being a chumra, the other one being a kula. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, gzera shava. Meaning each time the Torah gives us our bracket that says, esrim shana, shishim shana. So in other words, it uses the word shana, and shana is gzera shava, so that means each range is consistent. Ma shana hamur b'shnat shishim kilamata, av shana hamur mishnat chamesh v'shnat esrim kilamata mimenu ben lahakil ben lahachmir. So the Mishnah says it's gzera shava. So once it's now in the world of Gzera Shava, so all your questions are wonderful questions, but we don't ask questions on Gzera Shava. Now remember, when Gzera Shava, in order to do this, not just a regular Gzera Shava, but that's correct, super Gzera Shava. Or as the Gemara is about to call it, a Mufna. Right? Gzera Shava Mufna, and the Gemara is going to make the case that this is a Gzera Shava Mufna. Yes?
When they're saying somebody is in his fifth year, he's really only 4 years old, because in his first year, he hasn't turned one yet.
Right.
So in his fifth year, he has not yet turned 5. So at the moment he turns 5, right, he's completed 5 years.
Right.
And therefore he should be in
When we count in halacha, when we count years, we don't do it like, we count that first year is year 1, mm-hmm, that second year is year 2, and in other words, we're looking at each year, in other words, by animals we do the same thing as well, meaning by the Karban Pesach, mm-hmm, right? The Karban Pesach has to be a 1-year-old.
Ben Shana.
Right, Ben Shana. That doesn't mean... Right, in his first year.
Yeah,
right.
One yet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you're going to see all this. We're going to do this for a lot of other areas of halacha where we're going to do the, you know, how old you are. So Ben Lahakir Ben Lachmir. So Rabbi Lazar Amar Yisera Salashanim Chodesh Yom Echad. Now Rabbi Lazar ends off the Mishnah with an interesting position, which is that in order to graduate to the next level, it's not enough to just simply complete the year, plus another month, plus another day. What? Where did he get that from? So the Gemara is going to explain that question. The Gemara is going to ask and explain the position of Rabbi Lazar. It's a shitas yachid. It's an interesting one. Mufne, the Gemara's comment right away in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah made a gzera shava. It is a gzera shava mufne. It is a free and clear gzera shava, which means now that even though you want to ask questions, you can't. It's a gzera shava mufne. Dilo mufne ikla mifrach. The question is very simple. Kedebarachinan. So because, and you don't have to remember that far back, just remember what we learned in the Mishnah. Meaning, every time that you change, it's not always the same result. Mm-hmm. When you go from the 1 month to 5-year-old and you move on to the next level, you're going to pay more. When you go from 5 to 20 and you move to the next level, you're going to pay more. But then when you go from 20 to 60 to 60 and above, you're going to pay less. So you can't consistently say, oh, okay, fine. The when you get to a threshold year, so we're going to count it like the year before, but the result is not always going to be the same result. So the Gemara's response is Shana Shana Yisera Ksiva. So okay, fine. So that's why the Shana Shana Yisera, and it creates a not just a Gzera Shava, but a super Gzera Shava. Lema Masisin Deloka Rebbe Di Rebbe Hamar Advad Bechlal. So the Gemara says, you know, our Mishnah's not going like Rebbe, because for Rebbe, Ad V'Ad Bechlal. When we say 2-5, we mean up to and including 5. When we say to 20, we mean up to and including 20. So for Rebbe, you don't need any of this discussion. Meaning for Rebbe, it's very simple. How do I know if five means including five? Advad Bechlam. And our Mishnah goes through the lengthy Gzereshava, question on the Gzereshava, Gzereshava Mufna. Our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe. Ditanya. And how do I know that Rebbe maintains this rule of Advad Bechlal? We learned in the following brayso. Miyam Rishon Vad Yom Hashvi, last week's Parsha, right, from day one until day seven, Yochol Rishon Velo Rishon Bechlal, Shvi Velo Shvi Bechlal. Now, Pesach is days one through seven. Maybe not including day one and not including day seven. Right, Gemara is a fascinating suggestion. Right, Pesach is only going to be days two through six.
That's a good one.
You enjoy that, huh? Okay. Okay, it's a suggestion. Again, it's just a hava. I mean, you know where we're going with this, but that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is how we're going to get there. So, miyam rishon v'ayam hashvi, yachol rishon v'lo rishon bechlal, shvi lo shvi bechlal. So, ke'inyan sheneemar me'rosho v'ad raglav. And I'll give you another area in halacha where we say it doesn't include. And that's by tsaras. Interesting halacha by tsaras. And that's the following. You have a little spot of tsaras on your skin. You're a mitzora. Again, that's a simple version. Obviously, there's more, you know, it gets a little more complicated than that. But in other words, okay, fine. What if it spreads? Okay, you're still a mitzora. What if it spreads over your entire body? Okay, now you're good. You're tahor. Okay? Okay, one of the inexplicable halachas of, okay, it's a little bit paradoxical. How come this didn't make it into the world of Shlomo HaMelech's? I don't understand. Because Shlomo HaMelech understood this one. Okay. So, me rosho v'ad raglav. Now, the halacha is in the world of Mitzora, rosho v'lo rosho bechlal. Raglav v'lo raglav bechlal. So, it's up to the head, but not including the head. It's down to the feet, but not including the feet. So, you see in this area of tsaras, when the tsaras spreads over your body, it does not need to spread over the entirety of your body. Only up to but not including the head. Only down to but not including the feet. So you see that when we give a range, we don't include the endpoints because it's not ad v'ad bechlam. So maybe the Gemara is now making a suggestion that by Pesach and the days of Pesach should be the same. Meaning 1 to 7, not including 1, not including 7. Right. Even as a havamina, it's just so hard to imagine. The Torah gives the right. So the so rosh v'lo rosh bechlal, raglav v'lo raglav bechlal. Tamalamer a yom ha'achas ve'esriim lachodesh ba'erev. So the Torah gives us dates. The Torah says, you know, when Pesach will go to the 21st day of Nisan. Okay, fine. And that is all the explanation of how we know Pesach goes from day one to day seven, including day one. Including day seven. Now, Rabbi Omer Eino Tzarech. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, you know, you didn't need any of that because Rishon Bechlal Shvi Shvi Bechlal. Because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says Ad VeAd Bechlal. And so our Gemara points out, obviously, our Mishnah does not seem to subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi because the Mishnah could have just simply given this argument of Ad VeAd Bechlal. It's always interesting that, meaning what the Gemara now is suggesting is that our Mishnah, who is edited by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, is not going like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. I mean, we've seen this before. It's not the first time the Gemara has done that. It's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did not, you know, put himself first when writing the Mishnayos, meaning I may have an opinion, but, you know, just simply not the accepted opinion. And we find often that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi will not necessarily position his position in the Mishnah. And the Gemara suggests, Afilu Tema Rebbe. The Gemara says, no, maybe our Mishnah is going like Rebbe. How? Because Shekule Mishkale Krai Mechtik Siv Mi Ben Chosh Vad Ben Chamesh Anim. Su Mi Ben Chamesh Lama Li. Hilkach Ishtak Luluhu. The Gemara says, because even if you're Rebbe, and even if you hold Ad Vad Bechlal, you're not necessarily going to arrive at the conclusion that when you're 5 years of age, you're in the lower bracket. Why? Because think about it. The Torah says, when you're from 1 month to 5 years of age, you're in this bracket, right? You're in the first bracket. Okay, good. And advad bechla, which means that five is included. But then the Torah moves on to the next bracket. When you're 5 years of age to 20 years of age, wait a second, advad bechlal. So that means now that five is in which bracket? The second bracket, the 5 to 20, because advad bechlal. So when you try to employ Rebbe's rule of advad bechlal, so you get conflicting results for year five. As well, you'll get conflicting reports for year 20. Okay, so now you realize that the advad bechlal rule will not help you in the world of determining which bracket you're in. So therefore, you need the gzeirah shavar. Now, amamar rosha v'lo rosha bechlal, ragla v'lo ragla bechlal. The Gemara mentioned this halacha by Mitzora, so let's just quickly try to explain it, right? Why is it that when the Mitzora, the tzara spreads out through your entire body, you're now fine, and it doesn't need to cover your head and your hand and your feet? So the Gemara wants to know, minalan? Where did that come from? So one suggestion, says the Gemara, is that you know that the simanim of tzaras for your head is different than for your body. For your body, the hair that has to come out of the mitzora affected area is white, and also you need a spreading of the tzaras. For your head, the hair coming out is yellow, like yellow gold, not white. So in other words, there are different markers of what tzaras is for the head as opposed to the rest of the body. That's one reason why when it spreads, it doesn't need to spread to your head. It's interesting. The Gemara here does not use this to explain feet. Okay. Maybe once we excluded head, so therefore we're going to be excluding feet as well. Okay. Also, another suggestion, says the Gemara, is that the tzaras has to be visible to a kohen. And the tzaras that's on your head and that's on your feet is not visible to a kohen. Why not? Take off your shoes, right? Let the kohen look. I mean, the kohen's going to be looking at the rest of your body anyway. So Rashi explains that we're talking about between your toes. And I mean, you can't just simply separate the toes. Okay, so it sounds like from Rashi, no. And the head because of the hair. Okay. Right, right. Very good. Very good. Perfect. It's setting us up perfectly for the upcoming discussion. Rav Elazar Omer, wait, before that, Rav Elazar Omer, Ashi Yisera Sal Shanim Chodesh Yom Echad. So here's Rav Elazar saying that you don't move to the next bracket until A, you complete your 5 years on this world, and then another month, and then another day. Tanya Rav Elazar Omer, Nemer Kan Lamala V'Nemer Lahalan Chodesh V'Mala. So we find elsewhere that you only move to the next category when you are 1 month and a day, then you move on to the next category. Now that happens to be the counting of the Levium. So Rav Elazar says, anytime you want to move on, you want to graduate to the next stage, you have to be 5 years plus a month plus a day. You have to be 20 years plus a month plus a day. Right.
So he needs 2 months?
And No, it doesn't work that way. I'm not sure for Rabbi Lazar. In other words, that itself is a starting point. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Lazar holds that this is a Gzereshava. It may be that it just needs 1 day, but the Gzera Sheva tells us 1 month and 1 day. And apparently, I mean, it seems to be Kipshuto, we just simply don't hold of his Gzera Sheva. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, Rabbi Goldstein pointed out that in other areas of halacha, a year is counted not by the person or the animal, but the year is counted based on the calendar. Right? Rabbi Goldstein said, give an example. Right? For a king. If he set up as a king, right, a day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes along, so he successfully went through 1 year of his reign, okay? And he gets to celebrate, right? I'm in my second year of my reign. First year was a great year. My second year should be as easy as my first year. So the But in other areas of halacha, in a number of areas of halacha, we don't look at the calendar, but we look at a year, meaning a full year from the point of whatever origination we need. So we're going to talk now, 5 different halachas where a year is a year, not based on the calendar, but based on you. So for example, Shana Amur B'Kadshim, when we talk about the Shana of Kadshim by Karbanos, right? Karban Pesach has to be a one-year-old. So in other words, we don't look at the calendar, we are going to look at the calendar, but the beginning and end of that year is based on the birth of the animal, right? So when the animal now gets to his birthday, right, Feliz Cumpleaños, now the animal is now 1 year older. So and depending on which carbon it is, now it's going to be considered a 2-year-old. Okay? Shana Ha'amura B'Batei Arichoma. You know, when you buy back your houses in a walled city, you have a year to buy it back. Coming up later on in the Masechta, B'Batei Arichoma. So for that, what's that 1 year going to be based on? You. On the time that you sold the house. The time that you sold the house. That now is the day. So now, move fast forward 1 year from now, from the time that you bought it, that's the year. 3, Shtei Shanim Shebestei Achuza. We learned already once before, we'll spend more time on it later on in the Masechta, that whenever you buy property in Eretz Yisrael, it's not really a buy, it's a lease, because you know you're getting it back in Yovel, and you lease it for minimum 2 years. 2 years, how does that figure? It figures based on the day that you sold it, meaning it's not going to be based on the calendar. V'shei Shanim Shebe'Eved Ivri, 6 years of the Eved Ivri, V'chein Shebe'ben U'Shebe'Bas. And also, a 12-year-old for a girl, a 13-year-old for a boy, is not going to be based on the calendar, meaning when we get to Rosh Hashanah of his 13th year, we don't say, oh, Rosh Hashanah of his 13th year, okay, good, now he's a bar mitzvah. No, he's a bar mitzvah when he gets to that 13th year of his life. Kulan, in all these cases, me'es le'es. We go from point to point, meaning from the time that he's born, and you go to the day later. There's a more of a discussion about when the Gemara here says me'es le'es. Do you actually look at time of birth, meaning not just the day, but the hour and the minute? Kipshuto, the simple pshat of the Gemara is yeah, sure. Me'es le'es, right? Ke'es ke'eshana l'sarabein. Right, and remember, Rashi brings down that he put a marking on the wall, and he says, and when the sun hits this very point again, so that's when Sarah's going to have a son. So, in other words, me'es leis usually indicates right exactly the same point. Generally speaking, we don't assume that. Like in other words, by the bar mitzvah, right? When is the child the bar mitzvah? Right, when he gets to the day, but you don't have to get to the hour and minute of when he was actually born. Okay, but more discussion. But for now, we're just covering the basics. Shana Amur B'Kadshim Minalan Amur Avachar B'Yakov Amakra Keves Ben Shnaso Shanas Shnato Shalo V'lo Shomengina Olam. His personal birthday, his personal completion of a year, and not based on the calendar. Shana Amur B'Vatei Arecha Medichzei V'Atom Shna Mimkaro Mimkaro Shalo V'lo Shana L'Mengina Olam. Again, same type of drasha, his sale, and we don't follow the calendar of the year. Sometimes you sell a land for 2 years and you'll get 3 crops out of that. Right? What? 3 crops out of 2 years? How can that be possible? So Rashi brings down the example where you bought the land in Nisan and the seller didn't harvest. So now you'll say, oh, thank you very much. You harvest, that's year one of your crop. Next year you'll harvest again. And the year after that, you'll harvest again before he goes ahead and redeems it back. So it's possible to get 3 crops out of a 2-year sale. Now, how do we know? Where do we see that in the Pesukim? So Rashi brings down, Tevuos by itself already tells us 2, right? Minimum of plural is 2. So then it says, Shnei Tevuos, the years of Tevuos. It's extra, so it tells us that you can get a bumper, right? You can get another crop out of that, so that's 3 crops out of 2 years, and that will only work, explains Rashi, if you follow the year based on from the day that you sold, not based on the calendar. You could read the pasuk. Now, this is not how you read it, but you could read the pasuk. Uvashvi is, now stop right there. 6 years you work, and the seventh year you work as well. Now, again, that's not pshuto shel mikra. That's not the simple pshat, right? Because what you're supposed to then do is read on in the pasuk. And the pasuk goes on and says, and in the seventh year you go free. But it is, in the world of drush, an acceptable reading. And that means that sometimes in the seventh year you're going to work. How are you going to be working in the seventh year? Because six and seven over here don't follow the calendar, follows you. From the time that you're sold as an Eved Ivri, and then you'll be working six complete years, which may be on the calendar into the seventh year. Okay, and finally, now, as far as the kulan me'es le'es, what is that kulan coming to include? It's coming to include erchin, meaning in the world of erchin, same story, that we're always going to follow the calendar. No, I'm sorry, the calendar. We're always going to follow you. Rav Yosef Amar Lepirkin de Yosef Dofen. Now, Rav Yosef says it's going to apply to our perek and... I'm sorry. Lepirkin de Yotzei Dofen, it's going to apply to the chapter of Yotzei Dofen. Right? Masechta Nida, our last Masechta on the tour stop of Shas, right? Coming up in the months of June and July. So there, the fifth parak of Nida is called Yotzei Dofen, as per the first words of the parak. And there, all the halachas over there are based on, not the calendar, but on you. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Abala Rav Yosef mi pliktu." So now, when it says "Vechein Kulan," is it talking about the fourth parak of Erechin or the fifth parak of Nida? There's no debate. Meaning, it's both. So Amalei Lo Ana Amri Chada Vehu Lo Ana Amri Chada Vehu Amri Chada. Exactly. There's no debate. Meaning, it applies to both. I just happen to be focusing on the fourth parak of Erechin, and he's focusing on the fifth parak of Nida. Hachinami misab disa gadach plig imand amal Erechin lo amal liyos edofen v'amarav hilchsa bekula parak meis leis. Now, it's not, meaning there can't be a debate because Rav says unequivocally that all the halachas of parak yos edofen are based on meis leis. V'alamand amal Erechin maitam lo amal liyos edofen dum yedahanach mahanach deksiva av hanach deksiva. Because this v'chulan fits better over here because all these things are written in Chumash. Meaning, the idea of Sheshanim for an Eved Ivri, the idea of 2 years of selling a land, all that are written in the Torah. So is Erchin. But the Bar Mitzvah, the Bas Mitzvah, is that written in the Torah? No. Halacha Moshe Mesina. V'ida chizak adach adiksive ha-shebeben shebebas shebezach shebenekeva mi-bayile. Now, if it's talking about Erchin, why is it benubas? Meaning, what's the Erech language? Zachar and Akeva. So if it would better fit the fourth parak of Erechin, the language that would have been used is not benubas, but it would rather use Zachar and Akeva, me ba'ilei. Okay? And that is the end of the fourth parak. No, it's not. We have another four or five lines to go. I don't know. Somehow these next four or five lines crept in here into the end of the fourth parak. And it's kind of like the Gemara just, it's almost like a non sequitur. Like, the Gemara is going to just, one follow-up question which doesn't seem to be following anything. Okay? And just quickly to run through the next bit of Gemara. Maishna nekeva, dechimizkena kaime atilsa, o maishna zachar delokai atilsa. Great question. You look at the schedule of erch values for a male. Right, there are four categories. A month to five to 20, 20 to 16, 16 and above. So for a male, in Shkalim it goes 5, 20, 50, down to 15. For a female, it's 3, 10, 30, down to 10. Okay. So the Gemara's question is, let's look at that drop-off. Meaning, once you're over 60 years of age, just forget about it. I mean, now...
No, say that.
No, let's not say that. Phil, when I get
you'll
to your...
That,
I understand. First of all, I'm going to get there. Secondly, Phil, when I get to your age, I only hope... I wish I was as good now as you are. Okay. But obviously there's a drop-off, and I'm looking right at it. In other words, by Erech, it goes from 50 to 15. But for the woman, however, it's not that bad. In other words, for the woman, it's 30 down to 10. So the drop-off goes down. It's 33. It's a third of what she once was. But for a man, so if we were working with thirds, 50 would go down to 16 and two-thirds, and meanwhile goes down to 15. Now for us men, can I just be honest with you for just a moment? The Torah doesn't like fractions. Meaning, the Torah enjoys whole numbers. So the Torah is not going to say, "Oh, and you're Erech now. Well, let's figure a third, 16 and two-thirds." The Torah is not going to do that. So the Torah is going to give a nice whole number, 15. But okay, for the female population, you'll be happy to know the Gemara does not give that answer. My common sense answer. The Gemara gives for the female population a much better answer, which is Umayshna Zachar Delokaya Tilsa Amri Chizkiya Amri Inshi Saba Bebesa Pacha Bebesa. If you have an old man in the house, Pacha Bebesa. So I'll read Rashi. Okay, Shever She'eno Ella Lamasa. Right, basically, just it's a burden on the house. Lishna Achrina. Pachacha garsina lashon arum ve'eriyad metagina larum picheach betagun shel neviim. Just again, same basic idea. Savta bevesa, sima bevesa. But if you have an older woman in the house, sima bevesa. Rashi explains it's a treasure, right? An old woman in the house is a treasure. Matmon says Rashi. She echola lechoch v'lasot malacha v'ziknusa. Right, she's still great. Right after the birth of my most recent son, so my mother was around the house, and I got to tell you, it was such a pleasure. I should have kept her around. Right, I know. but she really was. All right, my fault. I bought her a ticket to go back home to Jersey. shouldn't have done that. Hajjan al Chesegag, and what a great way to end the fourth parak of Erechin. Let's start the fifth parak of Erechin. Ha'omer Mishkali Alai Nose Mishkalo. Okay, I'd like to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now I'm doing good. You should only know. Okay, as I reported, I'm on the upswing. So I'm doing good in terms of weight, but it is a little bit funny that the person. Very proud of his size, and says, "I'd like to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash." So, okay, so he's on the hook now. And not only is he on the hook, but he has to weigh himself. Now, it's interesting. So, but what medal does he give? Meaning, now we know what the weight is. Well, so what does he give? So, huh? Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a moment. Im kasev, kasev, im zav, zav. Now, the way the Gemara is going to explain this in just a moment is if he's, whatever he says, meaning, if he says, "I'd like to give my weight in gold to the Beis HaMikdash," okay. "I'd like to give my weight in silver to the Beis HaMikdash," great. He's got to give silver. What if he says nothing? We'll get to that in just a second. Maisa be'ima shel Yarmatya. The mother of Yarmatya. She'amra mishkal biti alai. Okay, I want to give the weight of my daughter. Okay, now I don't know how happy her daughter is now that not only is she going to Yerushalayim, but she's going to get weighed over there. And with a public declaration, this is how much he weighs. The altar liyushalayim bishakla mishkala zahav. And not only did she get weighed, but now mom paid her weight in gold. Now she didn't specify. Okay, fine. She didn't specify, and the Gemara is going to ask later on. Well, she didn't specify why she's paying in gold. Well. That up for discussion. Mishka yadi alai. Now, I'd like to give the weight of my hand. Now, in general, there's a big discussion. First of all, how much is your hand? Meaning, it starts from the fingers. That we know. How far up do we go up the hand, the wrist, the elbow, the armpit? Okay, machlokas, as you know already, machlokas. But meanwhile, though, there's even a more basic issue, which is how are you weighing the hand? Right. Good. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mamale Chavis Mayim, Machnis Ad Marpe Ko, Vishokal Mibisar Chamor, Vat Samos Vigidim, Venosin Lachosocha Achitis Male. So Rav Yehuda talks about displacement, right? Who's credited? Who's Archimedes? Thank you. So Archimedes is given credit. Eureka! Yeah. So he's given credit for displacement, and for reasons that are beyond me, I don't know why Archimedes gets credit. Rav Yehuda. I don't know. You have to speak to somebody. I don't know. Okay, Aaron, you know, you're on the hook now to figure out Archimedes before or after Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, I'll tell you what. I don't know much about Archimedes, but I do know this: Rav Yehuda, late Tana, one of the more recent Tanaim. So Rav Yehuda, you could put somewhere around first century. Right, Mark. It sounds with a name like Archimedes. Sounds like he's earlier. Okay. Okay. So right. Probably before. Anyway, displacement, which means okay. I'm not going to do it, but you put your hand into the water. Now you watch how much it displaces. Now, but displacement only gives you volume, doesn't give you weight. Okay. So here's what you do.
287 BC.
BC. Right. BC. Whatever. We'll say BCE, but same basic idea. Okay. But displacement only gives you volume. But you need to now go to step number two, which is, I need to know now how much does that volume represent in weight. And remember now, weight is depending on density. I really sound intelligent, but, you know, for those of you who really know me, okay, it's not so accurate. So, but weight depends on density. And so now I need the density of a limb. Now, I'm not going to chop off my limb because I like it. So I'm going to use the limb. Now, I'm not going to use the limb of another human being. That's also inappropriate. So I'll take the limb of a donkey, and I'll put the limbs of the donkey into the water and see that it gets displaced to that same amount, and then we weigh it. It's interesting. The Mishnah sounds like we weigh before we put into the water, which is just a pragmatic issue, because you'd like to weigh it before it gets saturated with the water.
Poor donkey, though.
Oh, and poor donkey. Huh? Right. Correct. So Amr of Yosef Yichiyeh Chesh Lechavim Basar Keneged Basar Vatzamos Keneged Basar Elishamnes Yad Kamahu Ruuya Lishkol. And Rav Yosef says, okay, good. That's good, but that's not perfect. Meaning, look, it's smart. In other words, you look at the volume through the principle of displacement, and you try to match it up with a donkey, with the limb of a donkey. But when all said and done, our arm is not exactly the limb of a donkey, meaning the bones don't match the bone and the flesh don't match the flesh. So it's smart, but it's not perfect. You went through all that trouble and you didn't get an exact weight of the arm. So basically, no, meaning. And so, but he made a neder and he says he's going to give the volume of his arm. So what does he mean when he says the volume of his arm? So basically you assess, we'll do our best. Right, we'll do our best job guesstimating how much his arm is going to be. Okay,
well, they're exactly contemporaneous.
Really?
Yes, yeah, so I would say Rabbi Yehuda, nothing learned
it
from another.
He obviously got his Masara, right? Meaning we should get credit.
So he died between 188 and 219.
Okay, all right. Again, the learning that we did this morning. Should be Le'ilui Nishmas Chana Miriam Bas Yosef Svi. Rabbi Chana Menekash Amarat Hashbaruch Lezak Yisrael Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anai Chafetz Amasikol Yagdil Torah.